Denmark American Insurance versus Hilder.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Eric Blanchard, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant Landmark American Insurance Company. Landmark issued insurance policy to O'Malley and Associates. The appellee in this case, Peter Hilger, was the president of Allied Solutions, a completely separate and unrelated company. And the complaints, the allegations for which Mr. Hilger seeks coverage for under the O'Malley policy allege that he is the principal of Allied Solutions and that he acted in his Allied capacity at all times. The district court erred in granting Mr. Hilger's motion for judgment on the pleadings, finding that Mr. Hilger was owed a defense under the O'Malley policy. We believe that the district court applied the wrong test. The district court should have let the case move forward to determine whether Mr. Hilger actually was an O'Malley independent contractor. Instead, the district court granted Hilger's motion for judgment on the pleadings because maybe he was an O'Malley independent contractor based on a reading of the pleadings alone. Maybe is not the test. The duty to defend in Illinois is a two-step process. First step, are you actually an insured under the policy? Are you a party to this contract? Second step is, are the allegations against you potentially covered under the insurance policy? Therefore, in order to be eligible for a defense and to receive the benefits of the insurance contract, Hilger must actually be an insured under the policy. What appears the district court did is they took the test for the second step, the traditional four corners test, and they applied it to the first step and ended their analysis there. So in our view, the district court applied the wrong test. The district court's ruling, we believe, alters Illinois law and leads to what can be absurd results. If affirmed, anyone could get insurance coverage under anyone else's policy as long as it's alleged somewhere in the complaint. Now, the law provides a safety valve to avoid these absurd results, and this would be the strong reason to believe test from the Seventh Circuit's Chuhak case.
And actually, does that test have any basis in Illinois law? Or is it just something that we made up?
I mean, it is something that is, I think, clarified in the Chuhak case. It is not something that is discussed in any Illinois cases.
Right, and Illinois doesn't really follow that rule. That was just some
invention
of this court, untethered to the requirements of Illinois law. What the real problem here is that the judge misunderstood the scope of a declaratory judgment action when an insurance company elects, as it is entitled to do, to deny coverage and bring a declaratory judgment action for a judicial declaration of its duty to defend. You know, the cases are legion that the insurance company has two choices when a defense is tendered. It can deny coverage and sue for declaratory judgment for a ruling on its duty to defend, or it can hire a lawyer for the insured and defend under a reservation of rights. And it's only when the insurance company does neither of those things, the case proceeds, and then there's a demand by the insured or putative insured for reimbursement of defense costs as well as indemnification of any judgment, that the insurance company is stopped from going beyond the four corners of the underlying complaint to determine the duty to defend. That's just black letter insurance law in the state of Illinois and in most other states as well. And so there was no grounds to reject your opportunity to do discovery and provide some factual basis on the question of whether Hilger was actually one of your insureds.
And we would absolutely agree with that. That in order to have any benefits under the contract, it is his burden to first prove
absolutely,
that. Absolutely,
but
not allowed.
You don't have to show that there's a strong reason to believe that he's not an insured. That's just it's a statement from an old case of this court that doesn't have any link to anything that any Illinois court has said about a preliminary showing in a declaratory judgment action.
And I think the reason for that is it kind of goes without saying that an insurer is permitted to explore whether or not someone is actually an insured. I mean, the direct quote from the district court is that actual facts don't matter. We would obviously strongly disagree with that.
Yeah, that's obviously wrong. You're entitled to take discovery on whether Hilger is an insured under your policy, and that's what declaratory judgment actions are for.
And that is all that Landmark is asking for here. The process was cut off before we were able to do that. We were actually in the middle of discovery, and we're having difficulty getting any answers or any documents. And the court, to our surprise, granted this motion for judgment on the pleadings and just said, well, as long as maybe he's an insured, he gets the protections of the contract, including the duty to defend. And we obviously believe that that is wrong. I think in the alternative, even if the district court applied the right test here, we think there is, under no reasonable reading of those underlying complaints, could you even conclude that maybe Hilger wasn't insured. These complaints specifically allege that Mr. Hilger was a principal of Allied and that he acted at all times in his Allied capacity. And the only way the district court gets to the fact that he's maybe an insured is some vague allegations that all of the parties, including O'Malley, Allied, Mr. Hilger, and several other parties, were acting in collaboration with each other and acting in concert with one another. And so somehow they're taking those very vague allegations, which were in the context of, I think, a conspiracy and joint fraud liability count, and saying, well, even though it says he acted in his Allied capacity at all times, well, if they acted in collaboration with one another, maybe he's an independent contractor of O'Malley. And we believe that under no reasonable interpretation of those allegations could you even reach that conclusion. That is beside the point, because they have not, the court has admitted that at best it's a maybe, and so Hilger must actually be an insured in order to get that defense, and we obviously think that they applied the wrong test.
You're going to reserve some time.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blanchard. Mr. Mulvaney?
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This is really a sad tale of an insurance company's abuse. Landmark was bound and determined from the outset of this litigation to deny the duty to defend and the duty to indemnify at all turns. The policy in this case was essentially tailor-made for this particular situation. It was intended to cover independent contractors, it was intended to cover premium finance loan transactions. And Judge Chang applied the Illinois test. The Illinois test, in one of the cases we've cited, there's many, many cases, the Pekin insurance case versus Wilson, where they say, if the facts alleged in the underlying complaint fall within or potentially within the policy's coverage, the insurer's duty to defend arises. That ends the inquiry. This court, in the Old Republic case, the Chuhak case, itself said discovery, which seems to be the thing that we're really down to in this case, is strictly limited in the declaratory judgment duty to defend context. And that's because all you have to show is a potential for coverage, as this court said in Old Republic, that the coverage is arguable. So let's go ahead and take a look at putting aside the 1099 issue, which is a fascinating issue on the strong reason to leave issue. Let's put that aside for just a second, and let's take a look at what the record actually shows in terms of what Judge Chang had before him. The underlying complaints clearly state Hilger's role in this premium loan finance transaction. You know, the Michigan complaint is replete with statements that Hilger, or Hilger and Phillips, approached, proposed, represented, presented, met with, and lobbied the credit unions regarding the premium finance loan transactions. The allegations include that Hilger, and these are the allegations that we just heard about, the only things that my opponent says are there, and they're not, that they were acting in concert according to a common design, that he was in collaboration with O'Malley, acting individually or through O'Malley to consummate these deals. But there are also these facts. The Michigan complaint says that O'Malley may have shared the commissions with Hilger personally, that Hilger was getting the money. He was the one. It wasn't Allied. The Michigan complaint also, the amended complaint says O'Malley may have shared commissions with a combination of Allied, Hilger, and Phillips. And they say this at like, this is docket 27-1 at pages 18, 27, 37, and about every 3 to 4 pages after that, they say that Hilger is possibly getting those. Well, if he's getting compensation, the question has to be asked. They've admitted, I think, on page 9 of their reply brief, this is not about Hilger being an employee of Landmark, or I'm sorry, of O'Malley. This is a question of in this case, of if he's not getting W-2s because he's not an employee, what's he getting compensation for? Independent contractors are compensated in a lot of ways. If he's being paid, and he's not an employee, he's probably something else, more likely a 1099.
We don't have any facts on that.
Well, we do have facts on that, Your Honor. In their motion to compel, they attached to their motion to compel, if you look at interrogatory 14, they asked for 1099s. Why would they ask for 1099s? They're asking because they want to know, are you an independent contractor?
Right. So, what? I'm not asking about what the questions in discovery are. I'm asking what the answers are. What facts do we have of record that establish,
yes, Your Honor,
to the required,
yes, Your Honor,
you know, as a matter of law standard, that your client is an independent contractor of, is it OMA?
Yeah, OMA, O'Malley, OMA. Yeah.
Right. What well, do we know about his relationship?
Also attached to their motion to compel was the evidence that 1099s were received by them, that were issued from O'Malley to Hilger, that demonstrate that Hilger's getting compensation for these transactions. And there's also information in Mr. Tittle's letter of December 26, 2013, where it specifically says he's an independent contractor. We've told you all along he's an independent contractor. Why are we going through this exercise? And in addition, Mr. Tittle says, and what about the emails from your own higher level claims representative who says, well, 1099s, independent contractors, they are covered under our contract. That is information that they put into the record, and we submit that even though that is not something that Judge Chang looked at in connection with his duty to defend analysis, that's an alternative basis for this court to affirm because they put that information before the court. They put that letter in there, and they don't deny that fact in their briefs.
Are 1099s used exclusively to report income earned as an independent contractor, or do they have a broader purpose?
Well, I'm not a tax lawyer, Your Honor.
You're putting a lot of emphasis on the 1099s as being conclusive as a matter of law that he was an independent contractor.
That's a burden I don't have to carry, Your Honor. All I've got to demonstrate is that whether there's a reasonable basis, whether it's possible. That's all I've got to carry.
No, the insurer is entitled in a declaratory judgment action to take discovery on a duty to defend question. And it's not subject to any strong reason to believe that your client is an insured or any preliminary showing. Declaratory judgment actions sometimes can be resolved on the pleadings, but often cannot be, and the insurer is entitled to take discovery to determine whether your client is, in fact, an insured. And well, unless there's something that conclusively establishes that, then this case was prematurely dismissed. Or, I'm sorry, prematurely resolved with a declaration of duty to defend.
Well, I guess
indemnification.
I come back to the Pekin case, which I started with. If the facts alleged in the underlying complaint fall within or potentially within the policy's coverage, the insurer's duty to defend arises.
That has to do with the claim that's being alleged in the underlying action, not whether your client isn't insured.
Well,
and, you know, sometimes even that can't be resolved by reference to the four corners, although often it can be. But in insurance coverage litigation, the declaratory judgment action is not so limited in scope as you're arguing.
Well, you know, respectfully, Your Honor, it certainly appears to us that that's what this court was saying in Old Republic.
That wasn't based on anything that any Illinois court has said, and it was, you know, a passing remark. It wasn't a holding. It was a passing remark to read that as establishing some sort of threshold requirement that an insurer must undertake to meet before it gets discovery on whether somebody's an insured under the policy. That's just a real overreading of that passing remark.
Let me come at it from this perspective then, Your Honor. For several years, they had all the opportunity in the world to talk to their own insured, who was telling them that Hilger was an independent contractor. That's information that's part of the letter from Mr. Tittle. That's information that they know is there. The insured has a duty, the named insured has a duty to cooperate. They had all kinds of opportunity to get that information. And yet they filed a declaratory judgment saying, we need to find out the answers to this, when they've had all kinds of opportunity to look at this and find this out. They have 1099s, which clearly demonstrate the potential for insured
status. Right, but you've just acknowledged that doesn't conclusively resolve the question. This case was litigated on the wrong legal premises about what the scope of a declaratory judgment action is.
But, Your Honor, at least according to the cases as I understand them, and maybe I've completely missed this, there's only an obligation to demonstrate the possibility that he's an insured under the contract and there's coverage. The two questions...
No, that's not what the Illinois cases stand for. The Illinois cases stand for the proposition that if the claim is plausibly covered by the underlying complaint, then there's coverage at least insofar as the insurer's duty to defend is concerned. In other words, they have to undertake the defense and pay for the defense. They may not have to indemnify depending on what happens in the underlying suit, but when the question in the coverage litigation is whether the claimant is, or the defendant in the underlying suit is an actual insured under the policy, they're entitled to take some discovery on that and make a legal case that he's not. That can't be resolved at the pleading stage, or at least not here, unless you tell us that something resolves it as a matter of law, and I'm not seeing that.
Well, you know, I guess all I can say is that this court, you know, in the Amerisher case and other cases, seems to, in the Old Republic case, seems to say when you have a duty to defend DJ case, you take a look at the underlying complaint allegations.
Old Republic has just been overtaken by more recent developments in Illinois insurance law we have written about in other cases, about the scope of a declaratory judgment action and the insurer's obligations when presented with the tender.
Well, again, you know, putting aside Old Republic, look at other cases like Amerisher that said we look at these two questions, and if those two questions together, and you've got a policy that's tailor-made for premium loan finance, independent contractors, this contract is different than most. Most times insurance companies are saying, you know what, we've got no duty to defend here because this person is an independent contractor. In this case, they specifically wrote this contract for this particular
situation.
Right,
it covers independent contractors, so that begs the factual question about whether your client was an independent contractor. We need some facts on that. We can't do it based on allegations.
But you just have to demonstrate the possibility. That's what the law is.
No, wrong.
Okay. Well, if I'm wrong on that and the case needs to be remanded, then we'll go through a kind of a wasteful exercise, I think. But we'll go back and it'll be demonstrated that Mr. Hilger has been an independent contractor and we'll move on, I guess.
But based on facts.
But I respectfully submit that Judge Chang got it right. And we ask that this court affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvaney. Mr. Blanchard?
I'm I'll make just a couple brief points. One, I want to address the 1099 issue. As you recognize, the actual 1099s are not in the record, but that's not really the main point. Our main point with the 1099s is, what do they prove? A 1099 means that O'Malley paid Mr. Hilger. Paid him for what? We don't know that yet. Was he paid in connection with the conduct that is alleged in the complaint? We don't know that. That's why we need discovery in this case. I think you hit the nail on the head. There's been nothing conclusive established here, and that is why this judgment on the pleadings should not have been granted, and we should be allowed to move forward in discovery to determine whether or not Mr. Hilger actually is an independent contractor of O'Malley. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mulvaney, and other counsel. The case is taken under advisement.